All right, man, we out here in beautiful San Diego, man. How you feeling, man? You excited now? You glad we back?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
You look a little perturbed right now, man.
You got me in this this baby mic.
But it's all good, man. We got a guest that just sat down with us walking by. We're in beautiful Mission Beach in San Diego. Guess what's your name?
My name is Kobe.
And his name is Kobe. Rest in peace to Kobe. Yeah, just a little bit of a trigger there. Kobe, where you from, man?
Las Vegas originally, but just back in Arizona now.
Okay, so what are you doing in Arizona right now? You got family out there? What's going on?
Yeah, family out there, just starting a new job, just kind of.
Oh, my man got a new job.
Yep. Uh-oh, right.
There you go. Where you working at? Let me get the air horns in the background for your new job.
Stardust Building Supplies. Oh, nonprofit.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Hey, it's a nonprofit?
Yes, sir.
Is that your normal track all the time? Is normally doing like nonprofit type of work?
You know, not usually, but it's my first one. But I really love it. I love all the work we do.
Now, if you could choose to, would you leave San Diego? I mean, would you leave Phoenix to move to San Diego if you could?
If it wasn't so damn expensive, man. Yeah, everything here.
The closer you are to the water, man, the more expensive it's going to be. You're absolutely right. Did you fly here or did you drive here?
We just drove.
You drove?
Yes.
So when are you leaving?
Today, actually.
So you're not going to get home until about 6, 7 o'clock, 9-ish?
I know. We just said, I don't know, we might stay here till around sunset and fuck around and get back at 2 a.m.
Man, that's a young man's game. How old are you, Kobe?
21.
Okay, yeah. Woo! Yeah. That's a young man's game right there, man. I used to do crazy stuff like that now. I got kids and shit now, man. Now I got to make sure I get like good sleep in and everything. That's the tough part. So when did you get out here and what did you do?
We got out here yesterday right before like 5 o'clock, went out to La Jolla.
Yeah.
And
the way he said, he put a little Spanish.
Shout out
on
to La Jolla.
So y'all went out to La Jolla. That's Thong Booty Beach right there. I was just telling him that earlier.
Oh, okay.
Gosh. So you went to La Jolla. Where else did you go?
We just went there, checked into our hotel, went to this place called Annie's Fine Burgers, and goddamn, they are fine.
It is
like the best.
That's in Claremont Mesa, right? Do you remember that? Yeah, off the 163 freeway. Do you remember that?
Yeah, like right around there.
Yeah,
right?
I've been there before, man. That place is fire. It's right by. It's actually by where one of my old jobs is. So shout out to Annie's. They don't have to pay us for this sponsor right here. But yeah, man. So then, what else did y'all do after y'all left Annie's?
Man, that's it. We went to sleep.
Also, you just said, "Yo, look, we just trying to see something different than what we were seeing like the whole months to come and everything."
Exactly. No, I have too much time off of work, so just whatever we can get.
Has COVID changed your life at any point?
Yes. I lost my job in Phoenix.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Moved back to Las Vegas, and then lost my job again in Vegas. So moved back to Phoenix to get another job. So hopefully this is the run.
There you go, man. Well, then, you know, congratulations on your new job. Congratulations on being out here. This episode will be out later on today and everything, man. And then I'll collaborate with you there.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
All right, man. Take care, brother.
Safe travels.
He was a nice young man, don't you think?
He got La Jolla hotel money.
Yeah, that's different. That's different. He said he lost.
For someone who's been losing jobs left and right.
He said he should have went off.
Sound like he had some savings.
He should have went to El Cajon Boulevard instead. That should have been the
boom. Hector's Motel.
Let's get started, man. Let's get into it. Get into the bag. We're going to get this episode started real nice. Nice sunny day. Buns is everywhere. This is Suns Out Music right here. All Sun Out Music. Reflection. Name this.
I'm in danger right now.
Why you say that?
I've seen two masks out of 10,000 people. A better one. I want to get an essay on it, too.
Better one. Look, don't worry about anything.
Check. There we go. We in here. Turn me down a little bit. Listen, it's a beautiful day in sunny San Diego. I don't care if you're at the beach, at SeaWorld, Legoland, with your family, barbecuing, living your best life. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with us. Thank you.
You're going to be the difference between McDonald's, Burger King, and Whole Foods. Do your thing and slip through on them.
You can let them know.
They'll ask you for advice, tell them the same thing I told you. Should be a crime to be this fly and awesome. And the thing that love is all it costs. Feel like Jordan, it's the ball that gets the toss. I'm the underdog and gold is what we've lost. And when they told me my chances of losing was higher than
worth. Do you know your worth, King? I need you to know your worth.
I haven't been appraised in a while. I never signed paperwork without reading the clauses.
My parents work way too hard to not get credit for it. Okay. I'm a trip like Grayson Allen. Yeah. This is Sunday Cruising Music right here, brought to you by Boogie Life 95. This is what you play with the windows down, sunroof down, you just cruising by yourself.
I was trying to fly a jet with her, I had sex with her.
We outside.
On Instagram, posting
it's getting
world.
Busy out here. We out here looking mad crazy in this booth. We gonna need a canopy real soon.
I was trying to smoke a blunt with her, and maybe fuck with her. Be in a cup with somebody that won't run to my girl. Don't tell my girl. Tell my girl, yeah, yeah. I said it's too much dough to be hurt, yeah. I don't know what I'm worth, yeah. I've been broke since my
birth. You're right, there's not one mask in sight out here, man. That's crazy. They ain't even got it. They ain't even got them in the pockets, man. It's wild.
They come in and steal your joy. How come every time we function, they telling us kill the noise?
We about to be leading in COVID cases real soon.
Like everybody got the Johnson and Johnson.
Searching for better living. Repetition. I feel I've been less efficient. I feel I'm too pressed with bitches. Keep saying F them niggas, but still ain't address it with them. You stressing when it's too much dough to be hurt, yeah. I don't know what I'm worth, yeah. I've been broke.
This episode is brought to you by
too much holes in my search, yeah.
Lexus
said,
Beard.
So ain't got turned, yeah.
Freshly trimmed.
Stay trimmed, my friends.
Shit was all bad. Now your bitch is all mad. Cause you get into the bag. Put your hands up. Yo, yo. All my niggas, put your hands up.
Yeah, one more. I always said I was going to leave it at two, but I be lying to y'all, man. We just trying to set the vibes real quick, man. I'm playing all sundown, I mean sun up music. Ain't no sundowners. Lex is preoccupied with everything that's going on. He look like a
stimuli out here.
He look like a kid that like ain't been outside in a long ass time, man. Like, this is your first coming
she
to the world right now.
Chanel vintage, yeah. That dry before she can speak English.
I look like my son during the 4th of July fireworks. He doesn't know what to do.
Overstimulated.
You keep calling me a twin, but twins ain't this different.
Twins ain't this
mentally
different.
Mentally, I'm already on next year. That's some 2020 clear vision. You say let you finish.
I want to welcome y'all to the You Wasn't Outside podcast on the Growth Most Podcast Network. Sit in the car a little bit and just groove. Shout out to my mans right here.
I must have blew a milli. I'm walking on all charges. That's my new Achilles.
That's my new Achilles.
I know he love to rock a check, but who gon' do it really? Really? My depositions never surface. Tenen bomb, know the logo on the jersey is getting purchased. 10 years.
You got a deposition coming up, don't you?
In October.
Man, you a cool man. If you get a deposition, if you get a deposition, man, you a cool dude right there.
You know what that means?
That means that you got something that people want right there, man. I'm just trying to tell you how it is.
Hopefully I don't go Wayne.
Sending my distant regards. Vision wasn't mine. Told my niggas the vision was ours.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right. We here, we here, we here, we here. I want to welcome y'all to the You Wasn't Outside podcast. I'm one of your hosts, not doing the most, Norman Last Carl. To my frontish left, I have my man's Just Lex, aka Turquoise Bandit, out here killing it with all the sunshine vibes right now. You're leisure.
Just trying to match the mic.
This is athleisure right here that my man is wearing. I'm coming in here with extra energy. I've been like really terrible with the energy the last 2 or 3 weeks. I don't even know why. Like, I'm not hurt or anything. Life isn't sad or anything like that. But let's go ahead and get into the intro drops real quick.
Noah's car.
And
Noah's car. And Noah's car. And
just Lex. Just Lex. My man got his keys, man. Let's celebrate one more time, man.
I wasn't even thinking about
this
that.
This is the keys right here, man. You wasn't thinking about it? But your demeanor lets me know that you're more at peace right now.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. My man is definitely.
Boy, I tell you,
it's been a long road, man. But you finally
boy,
here.
Boy, I tell you,
and that's beautiful. I'm excited for you and everything, man. So you had that popping off for the week. You got your keys. What else? You got new floors coming in. I know your whole life, man. What else? what else is new for you, man? How's work? You working from home now?
Oh, man.
I'm spilling all the beans.
Yeah.
You don't be coming in here with that, so I got to come in here and tell you what you be doing.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, sometimes you remember more than I do.
Yeah, no, I do. I write it down. I've been trying to tell you to write it down, Jay.
Yeah, so, man. It's been a long couple weeks. A lot of shit that most of the stress about stuff that I wasn't in control of.
Yeah.
And but you know, this weekend's been like, it's been a lot better as far as like getting over that part. So we was actually, I was supposed to have these keys February 19th. And then that jumped to to March 2nd.
Mm.
And then that jumped to March 8th.
Mm.
Then it jumped to March 12th.
Mm.
And then the 18th.
It
then
was
the
at
22nd.
This moment that he knew. He fucked up.
And the 26th almost didn't happen as well.
Not at all.
But yeah, we, man, but tell you, man, we had our most expensive date to date. You know, we didn't even get no food or nothing.
What'd you do? Just
we went to send a wire for a down payment.
Nah. That's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
You spend all that time looking at that money in the account, and then you watch it just
we took
like...
We took a final screenshot. We're going to put it on the vision board. Like, we'll get back there.
Oh, y'all have a vision board.
It's been a...
This wasn't your idea. It had to be
nah,
your wife's.
But...
You're not that organized.
It was supposed to be done a long time ago, but we'll get there. We have a bunch of other shit going on. But yeah, I feel like... When you see it, if you write it down, that's the only thing I feel like it's always in my mind, blah, blah, blah. But if you sit there and really talk about what you're going to do or talk about your goals or whatever, that's one thing. But when you write it down, it's kind of like the next step of accountability.
Yeah, that's true. And then you hold yourself to it, because then right. If you look at the board and you're not where you need to be at, then you have to sit back and do some reflection on, like, what do I need to do to refocus myself right now? You brought up something earlier, or we were talking about something earlier before we went down that road. It's something to be said, man, when stress is, like, relieved off of your body. Like, I had some tasks coming up, like, at work this week for the last 2 or 3 weeks that I knew was coming. And like the build up to those things and then actually doing them and then feeling the relief once I was done, man, that's like, it's just a crazy feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how else to explain that. So is that something that like, how is that some way that you felt about it?
Well, you know what? A lot of the things we stress about, like I said, especially in my case, most of them is like, there ain't really much you can do about it anyway. You just got to let whatever's going to happen.
Mm.
And then on the other hand, a lot of stuff you might be stressing about can be handled. Like, you just don't want to do the task, but the actual task might not take very long. It's just like, I'm about to have a rough 20 minutes or whatever.
Bruh.
But once you get it done, you're like, damn, I should have did that a long time ago.
That's true.
I'm over here stressing for no reason.
And that's the part that...
That shit ain't healthy, man.
It's not. But I mean, I feel like it's a way of life.
It's human nature.
It's human nature. Like, you know, like I tell people all the time in my line of work, like, don't stress about this. But that's easy for me to say because I'm not in the position that they're in, though. You know what I mean? Like, it feels completely different, like, offering that advice. I guess I'm reneging on my toxic positivity. I don't want to hear no toxic positivity, bro.
I'm
like, if I'm going through some shit and you're not handling me, I'll give you a story of what happened. I was hella stressed, actually. So this week, or last week, I told you on Sunday, I booked my Miami trip, right?
Yeah.
Dumbass me wasn't paying attention. And so when I booked my Miami.
You went to Miami, Ohio?
No. No, because I'm flying into Fort Lauderdale. But the thing was, though, I chose the wrong date to fly.
Hmm.
So I get a call on Monday, like at work or whatever, from a Baltimore area code. Baltimore is one of the stops. I'm sitting here thinking that, oh, well, this probably is like a telemarketer or something. I didn't pay all my bills, though. So, you know, I don't know what they're trying to solicit right now. So then I get an email from Southwest that says, hey, your flight was canceled for a no-call, no-show. Baltimore Airport called me to let me know that my flight was this last Monday.
Oh, they got extra time?
They got extra time.
I didn't know they was handing out them
calls. It was probably the desk, you know, the front desk. So then Southwest... Being the G's that they are, let me go ahead and give, you know, shout Southwest they love. Like, I called them. The lady said, I don't know if we're going to be able to fix this. You chose the cheaper flights. They got more restrictions on them. Call corporate. I call corporate. I wait an hour. So I'm in there typing. The girls are looking at me at work and everything, trying to talk to me. I'm like, look, I'm in the headphones right now. I'm trying to get this situated. That's like 600 right there sitting there that I ain't even got a chance to use or even utilize for anything. And then I answer the phone. I go outside. We got work vehicles. So the Bluetooth in the work vehicle, when one of the girls turns the car on or whatever, takes the phone call.
Mm.
She hangs up.
Ah.
Instant anxiety hits. Right? And then after the instant anxiety, what's up, my man? How you doing, bro? You want to sit down?
What's up? I'm good, man.
It's all good, bro. All right, brother, be easy. So I sit down. No, the phone hangs up. So then I call back 15 times. The option that was on the phone wasn't even on the phone anymore, right? So then I call back the main line again to Southwest.
She tells me, oh, they close at 5 o'clock Central time. It's 3:05. And I'm like, damn, stressed.
It's a whole day right there.
And then the girl that was in the car sends a message to the group chat at work and says, hey, the car is messy. I said, hey, yo, did you turn off the phone? She said, yeah, this lady kept talking. I didn't know who she was. So, man, you can let those fly away. Nah, go ahead, pick them up.
Catch them like a dandelion.
And so I'm sitting there being stressed out, bro. So it's like, it's tough, man. Like, you know what I mean? Of trying to let things go in the presently, in the moment. It's something that I'm constantly trying to teach myself. So, you got anything else that's going on? Gather those up real quick, man, before they blow
nah,
off.
But that's also important, too. If you do have a partner out there, have that balance.
Yeah.
Like, so sometimes if I see, like, she's in that mode, like, she's the one going through the stress, then I need to, like, suck it up and balance that out.
Yeah.
Until she can get to that point, and then that way I can be like, all right, well, now it's my turn.
Is communication your strong suit?
No. Nah, but I mean,
knew the answer. I just wanted to hear you say it.
But I can. But is that something that you see it though?
Is that something that you're striving to be better at though?
Always.
The bag's right there.
Sometimes it's you know, two steps forward, one step back.
Yeah.
I'm the type of person that if stuff that I'm working on that might not be natural, you know, I'll have a good spurt, and then there's gonna be a point where I need to be recalibrated.
Yeah.
So I might start taking a step back and then just, hey, remind me so I can stay up on my toes or whatever.
Be up on game. Be up on game. All right, man, let's get into this. This week in hip hop, man. Let me get my applause going off real quick. Got to make sure that all my applauses go all the way through. Here we go. Here we go. This week in hip hop segment, 25th anniversary of Busta Rhymes' first album. Give me the name of the album.
There's only 4 years left.
What's the name of the album?
The Coming.
All right. So let me know how you feel about the pause. Don't let me know how you feel about The Coming. So what you got for me, man?
The Coming was
what's
a
your
long
favorite? Time. What's your favorite track on there?
Ooh, favorite one?
Yeah.
Oh, motherfucker, the mic. The bass is why you can't have no baby mics. I brought this new headphones with the longer cord so I can stretch out, and then you gave me a shorter mic.
What's your favorite on The Coming?
I'm gonna have to say the joint with Q-Tip, Ill Vibe.
Ill Vibe?
Yeah.
Let's play Ill Vibe real quick. Let's take a quick listen to real quick. Any second favorites on there? I'm gonna tell you what, Busta Rhymes for me, it's tough right now because I feel like he's a dinosaur in the game.
Yeah, I wouldn't peg you as the biggest Busta fan.
Because he just had his most recent album come out last year, I believe. What is it, something before the self-destruct or extinct? Something Extinction?
Okay, so the album after this is called Extinction Level Event.
Okay.
This was part two of that should have came out 8 years ago.
But it didn't.
But he's been working on and changing it, and it finally came out.
You know, I think Busta is really, I don't think he's gonna wow you with lyricism. That box is bending, you might as well just take it off. So I don't think he's gonna wow you with like lyricism or anything like that, but I think that like for him,
so you lying already?
No, it's his ability to rap. I don't think it's the lyrics itself. He's not gonna say nothing to me that's gonna like be like, wow, man, Busta said that. But it's how he delivers it, like his cadence. Just like DMX. I don't feel like DMX is the most lyrical rapper, but
that's,
I feel like
totally his, different though. I think what you're saying is that his cadence and delivery maybe outshine the actual lyrics, but that don't mean he ain't saying nothing.
I'm just saying I'm not going to him for the message. You know what I mean? I'm going in there for the delivery. That's all that I'm saying. I like Busta. I just wasn't too much of a big fan of the last album that he put out. But then that's like the streaming game right now anyway. Like, I probably only like 3 or 4 tracks per album in the first place. So, all right, here we go. 1997, Biggie's second album.
We got that too.
And final album, Life After Death, is released. Any favorite tracks on Life After Death on there?
Ooh. Man, there's only like 2 tracks on there that I take off. It's hard to deliver a full double disc, man.
It is, man.
You know, many have tried. There was an era where like everybody had to have a double disc.
That's crazy because you don't get no credit for like having the double disc.
They had to give it a shot, and then it wasn't like, man, I'm a
It's a lot of music, man.
I bought this album from Fry's Electronics, and they charged me for a double disc. This shit was like $30.
I think Fry's is getting ready to go out of business too. That's another dinosaur place that's on its way out the.
You wasn't outside for Fry's.
I was outside for Fry's. I just wasn't going to Fry's. Yeah, Radio Shack, you know, all them other places and everything that's out there. So I mean, yeah, man. Okay, I do like Hypnotize. Hypnotize is my favorite. They only have the remastered version on Apple Music. So if you're looking for the old one with the lo-fi sounds, you probably not
gonna
find it.
This was the last video he ever shot.
Now, real serious question here, okay? I'm gonna ask it because I just gotta be honest.
Pray for my downfall.
So are we counting Big as one of the greats, even though he's only got two albums?
When you word it like that, sure.
I'm not a New Yorker, so I feel like somebody from New York would tell me, like, they would give me a whole nother perspective on something like that. But for us, like, you know, I look at it like there's people now that's got 2, 3, 4 good albums in the catalog. And my question to you is like, was Ready for Die that album when it came out? Was it like number one on the charts? Because I think it came out. Did it come out after his it was a posthumous album? Or did it come before he passed?
Ready to Die?
No, this
one.
This album.
It came
Life
out.
After Death.
It came out like a couple weeks after he died.
Because
he died March 9th, so and then it came out March 20th, whatever.
Then that makes that release like a legendary type
of
release.
Yeah, definitely. It was definitely a moment.
Just like I look at it, like Nip only has like one real studio, like, you know, first album coming out, you know what I mean? But he's got a lot of mixtapes and stuff like on his come up and everything. And I guess the question is, you know, for Nip, and I love Nip, so I'm not like saying anything bad about his career or anything like that. Will we consider him a legend in the game off of just one album? Or does that not even matter? Does it matter how you move people? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, it does matter. And also, I mean, because we're looking at Nip from a West Coast perspective.
Yeah.
And they always going to, I mean, everyone's going to put Biggie, especially in New York, in that top few slots or whatever, just because. But New York's like that, right? It's always like, hey, it started here. Everything's better here.
It's fickle and
biased. And then when it left, it was like, oh, we got to bring it back to where it should be. And it's like, nah, man, it's like. It is what it is now.
I don't think there's going to come a point in time where it's going to come back, though. The music that they got going, you know what their problem is? You got 5 boroughs that just don't come together.
Not necessarily that. The problem is, and it's happening in other places too now, is they kind of like waved the white flag when they started making down south music. But then, you know, music in general is becoming more globalized to where the sound, like, people don't have the sound anymore. Everything's kind of sounding more or less the same.
Yeah.
So you can't tell, like, oh, they from Atlanta, they from Florida, they from Texas, or they from New York.
You don't have no clue.
You know what I mean? Because everyone's trying to make that down south music because that's what's popping right now.
It's almost like
everyone need an 808.
It's almost like globalization.
That's what I said, sort of.
Did you say the? But you didn't
I said
say,
everything
oh, you
global.
Said sort of. You didn't say the word, but I'm saying but the act of actual like globalization. You know how we've gotten away from like industrial age, and now we're a globalized society where like I can see what's going on in Tokyo and everything.
Right.
So music's becoming centralized now. Is what we're talking
because
about.
The only way we would know what was going on in New York was through the magazines. Or Yo MTV Raps or something like that. Like, we wouldn't hear from our favorite people until the album came out.
Yeah.
When they had like the big spread in the magazine. And now it's like, oh, they were on Instagram Live for 3 hours last night.
It's people sit there and watch it the whole time too. It's content. I give it to them, man. I'm not one that gets mad at content in any form, man. All right, what else we got on the list? Here we go. All right, last question for this week in hip hop. Is it cool to listen to Tory Lanez now?
I never listened to him before. Oh, you mean like because
I struggle.
Because of his
situation. But like, yeah, you don't have to listen to the music to know what I'm talking about. What I'm asking is like,
yeah,
is it safe to listen to him now? I'm wondering when the court case is happening, if it's gonna happen. It's been a lot of time with this man being accused of doing something that he said he did not do.
I mean,
I don't know how much you read into the situation or
not. No, I know the situation. So I was finishing a documentary last night called Allen versus Pharaoh.
Yes,
and they kind of touched upon that whole towards the end. Separating the art from the artist. And I think it's becoming less, I don't want to say appropriate, but more and more people are starting to not do it.
Yeah.
Because before, I was like, dang, you know what? The song's fire. But then now it's more like, damn, can I look past that? Now, it also, for me, I can still kind of separate the art, but I guess it depends on what you did.
Allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
But no, I'm not even talking about him specifically. I'm talking about anybody that we've quote unquote canceled.
Yeah.
What you did is going to have a big impact on stuff like that. So, you know.
I look at it like it's hard, man, because it's like, all right, well, bro, he's not accused yet. You know what I mean? Like, in the court of public opinion, he's accused. But I should be able to, like, enjoy his music.
Right.
We listened to that T-Pain record last week, you know, in the start of the podcast. I like Tory Lanez's version way better. You know what I mean? And so I was like, dude, man, like, I can't even, you know, I can't even play that now because then they're going to get us the hell out of here.
But that ties together back with globalization is now everybody's kind of thinking, like, everybody's on the same wavelength. And it's like, okay, let me go to the internet so they can tell me how to feel about this.
Yeah.
And it's like, where was I going with that? Now everyone's saying, oh, this is wrong. You should, like, so now it's like, it's kind of, you know, tampering with the witness. Like, you can't even form your own opinion because everybody's opinions kind of grouped together and put on you. And you're just like, oh, yeah, that seems like that's what I rock with.
Yeah.
And now everybody feels the same way. And I don't like it, man.
Yeah. I think I'm going to listen to it. I'm just not going to play it out to the masses so people know that I support it, like, in that manner, though. But I think I'm going to listen to it. All right, man, let's wrap it up for the hip-hop. Anything else you got for this week in hip-hop or anything like that?
Nah.
All right, there we go. Slow week. First quarter's almost to an end. A few more days. Yo, you touched on something kind of interesting, and we kind of, like, scraped the surface on it. This is random shit to fill in time, but a lot of shit is fake. A lot of shit. And we talked about this a little bit last week. I didn't really get a chance to get into my bag.
Oh, you talking about the... Yeah, I didn't get to watch that.
Yeah,
you
gotta
bring that up?
Yeah, I'm gonna still deep dive into it, man. Because I pod because, you know, a lot of people ask, like, oh, why do you pod? And, what, you know, if I did it for the money, that's not why I pod. You know what I mean? 3.5-4 years into the game right now, I'm just now barely scratching the surface of being able to consistently monetize this podcast. You know, people say, oh, like a lot of people say, oh, what about the shirts and stuff? Yeah, that helps to get the name out here. But, like, shit, we could just pod outside and do the same thing and have a bigger impact than what a shirt would do. You know what I mean? Like, I have to, one, buy the shirts, sell the shirts to be able to turn the profit on it. And that makes it even difficult. And, you know, also, like, what I've also hated is Instagram specifically. You know what I mean? Because it links people to, like, our email. It links people, you know, to come in and talk to us and stuff. But it's a lot of fake profiles that hit us up.
The bots?
Yeah, the bots, man. It's bad. Or even if it's not a bot, it's somebody that either bot followers and stuff like that. And it's like, oh, you know, let us know if you want a shout out and stuff. I'm not paying $100 for you to do a shout out, bro. If I could come outside in front of the beach and have 100 people pass me by right now for free. You know what I mean? Like, everything that, like, and this may not be news to a lot of y'all, man, but a lot of things that we see in this world, man, is fake. You know what I mean? The average consumer is ignorant. And when I say ignorant, I'm not saying that as a slight. I'm saying that as you don't know.
It's why advertising works so well.
Yeah.
Commercials and all the subconscious messaging and all that shit.
Yeah, man. And it's like a lot of those things, like I get it. You know what I mean? That's what you do to, like, put your brand out there and stuff like that. But a lot of this fickle relationship type stuff and everything, and these micro influencers and these big influencers. I'm an influencer. I'm not putting that shit in my bio, but I'm out here pushing the culture. We outside. I mean, the demographic that we looking at just being out right now is crazy.
Did we say where we at?
Yeah, we in Mission Beach. We said that. We said that in the beginning when Kobe came down and sat with us.
Man, we in a very interesting spot in Mission Beach.
It's a lot of
history for me.
Hold up, I'll let you finish that in a second. So, with that being said, bro, like, I look at it like this, man, like. Like, if you coming to us with, like, opportunities and stuff like that to push your brand, or you coming to us with opportunities to, you know, help us out and it's a fake love, I'm not responding to it. Okay? I'm just letting y'all know now. That's not what I'm here for. Now, if you come with a bag or something that makes sense, I'll entertain the conversation. Like, my mans that came up here with the camera with the vlogger puppets or whatever.
Yeah.
That may not be up my alley or whatever, but he's out here in the trenches. You
there
know what
you
I
go.
Mean? He ain't want nothing from us other than just to film us and keep going. And to me, that's pushing the culture forward.
So you've been getting a lot of fake love in the DMs?
It's not the fake loves. It's the bots, man. Like, the people, like, I know who the real people are that, like, you know, like, engage with us and everything, but I'm not for this fake shit that, like, people bring about, like, oh, let's collab. Somebody sent us an email like, oh, you want to do a collabo? Get out my inbox. Nobody has used collabo since fucking, like, 2009. Like, you know, there's no reason that I'm about to do a collabo, quote unquote, with you. But anyway, you said there was some history here in this spot. So what happened? Let's get to the story a little bit.
All right, so this bench that's right behind you right here?
Yeah, we right here off of...
We on the boardwalk. What is
that? The lifeguard tower number 13 in Mission Beach. Yeah, we're right... This is not the boardwalk. Boardwalk, you might be right. You're right.
Hey,
you're
this
right.
whole
you're,
strip.
You're right.
All right, man. You're going to have to get the definition of boardwalk.
No, I got you. When I thought about it... Yeah,
we on right. the boardwalk right now. Smack yeah. dab.
Smack dab in the middle.
There's a. I didn't expect all this other shit going on, too. No. Nah, I thought knowing you, he went next to the bongos. We going to have more... we going to have more... hearing issues, but nah, distractions, man. Distractions is everywhere.
That's plastic surgery. It's fine. Let's do it.
A lot of fakeness going on.
Go ahead.
But anyway, so back when me and the missus were first dating, and I'm pretty sure this got to be like one of our first dates.
Yeah.
We went out, and the ending was over here, over this way, specifically on this bench. Mm. Right? So we posted up talking or whatever. It's nighttime. Just looking at the water, whatever. And then the homie hits me up and he's like, where y'all at? And you know, I'm with her, so I wasn't trying to make this like a group thing, but at the same time she was like, nah, whatever. And then I was like, yeah, we over here, blah blah blah. He's like, all right, cool, I'm coming through. You know, that's the type of shit he was doing. And then so he pops up, we're hanging out for a little bit. He brought a little bottle with him, so he's drinking. He brought his homie with him. And I know this had to be a Sunday because that's usually when the buffoonery comes out. But anyway, so we're just posted up. It's nighttime, basically. And, you know, jokes, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, a big group of people starts heading towards us, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, another low grunt. And I'm looking at them, and they pop up. And I was like, all right. So, you know, those people you walking past, like, you know, they probably going to say something, but I'm just going to sit here and run, mind bitch, my business. Run! So I was in sandals while you played that little drop. So there wasn't a lot of running going on. And so it ends up being a bunch of, you know, little YGs, and they coming through. So they do the typical, you know, if you from here, if you're not from, so where you from? And I'm just, you
they
know.
They asked you where you were from.
They asked all of us, right? Oh, I'm just like, man.
That's why I used to look the part back in the day. What's that, brother? You used to look the part back in the day. I forgot all about
that. I mean.
That. No, it's cool. Keep going. Yeah, yeah. No, just let me get my joke off. Keep going. Just keep going.
So I'm just posted up, right? I'm like, man, I'm in sandals. Of course I'm in sandals right now. And so it's just me and her on the bench. They're like standing up around and they're like, yo, what's good? Like, you know, on the Debo shit. What you got on my 40? And, you know, we just kind of like, all right, let's, you know, we just talking. What's up? And then they got real aggressive. And I'm like, fuck. So they start pressing my man for his bottle and what he had in his pockets. And this is back like, I mean, I'm kind of be on that shit now, but kind of whole like, if someone approached me like your money or your life, I got to think about it for a little bit. Like, I was that type of broke.
Bro, that's it. That's an easy choice right
so,
there, man.
So, I'm pretty sure I had some sweats on or something, right? So, I had my keys, had a bunch of shit, right? I was like, I don't know what they're going to try to take from me because they over here just emptying out pockets. So, I'm like, okay, they might take stuff from her, but if anybody's going to get out of this scotch-free, it's going to be her. So, I'm in my pocket sliding stuff over to her, right? Like, just hold on to this. My phone, my keys, blah, blah, blah. Because they come into me eventually.
Yeah.
And then they just started focusing on them too, right? And so my man's friend, he said something to him, right? Boom. They slept him right here on his grass.
Damn.
He was snoring. Like, I could hear that shit, right? And I'm like, done. Here we go. Tonight's the night. I ain't. Ah, man. Then they start pressing. Now, my man, he's like the sweetest guy in the world. He ain't here to bother nobody. He just here to have a good time, get some jokes off. Like, he don't bother nobody.
I've heard that story. It's always the sweetest guy in the world.
You know
world
what I mean?
That's hitting me.
And then so they pressed
knockouts.
Him. He gave up all his shit. He wasn't trying to fight nobody. Boom. They gave him the Kanye West jaw. Right? So I'm like, oh, there ain't nobody else left but me, right? And then, like, I got saved by the OG, came through and was like, what y'all doing? Like, she's crying.
Hell no. Hell no.
They came to me, right? And she's sitting here crying. I'm like, all right, man. Maybe they see, like, I'm with her. Like, I'm sitting here trying to console her. Like, hey, like, it is what it is. Like, mine's coming. And then the OG came out of nowhere. I was like, what y'all doing? Like, y'all pressing a female, blah, blah, blah. and like he kind of calmed them down, you know, round them up, and they got out of here.
This was after the knockout.
This was after two knockouts.
Oh, okay.
And I was the only one left, so I got saved by the OG. We had to get my man
up.
Wait,
they lined y'all up like baby boy?
No, they lined them up. I was still sitting down on the bench like, here we go.
They lined you up like baby boy.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Like they was the one that drinking his Alizé.
Oh, man, light it up.
And then so we had to take him to the ER. He got his jaw wire shut on, like, pretty much on his birthday. Like, his birthday was, like, the next day. And he got a wire for a couple weeks, and she was just like, damn, so this is what date nude's like, huh?
He's a different guy and, now.
Yeah, man. Oh, I felt so bad for him. But, yeah, man, coming out here to Mission Beach on a Sunday night, the demographic changes a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that demographic at all. At all. You want to make sure you go home. It becomes teens out here, too, and shit, man. All right, here we go. Chula Vista is now allowing drones to fly over the city.
That's my new stomping ground.
So how do you feel about
officially Chula Vista?
How do you feel about the stones being over the city? I mean, the drones being over the city.
Well, finish the story because I don't really know what you mean.
So basically, police drones are now able to fly. They passed, you know, some type of legislation for them to go ahead and let drones fly across the city now. So I imagine it gives them more aerial view and stuff like that of the city.
Oh, you mean like
parts.
If they was like on a like oh, a car chase or something?
This is Big Brother. No, this is just Big Brother watching.
This is the police specifically.
This is the police specifically. The Chula Vista Police Department, they are out here now having drones flying over the city.
Damn, so I can't pee in public.
You can pee.
They're going to catch me. They're going to send me a ticket to my phone.
Your meat is going to be in a PowerPoint pretty soon. You know, I'm just letting you know that.
All right.
So how you feel? How do you feel? Do you not care about it at all? Are you losing a little bit of your privacy? You know, I feel like there's some benefits to it, but then at the same token, it's like, yo, that's we're still inching closer to like machines and stuff like that ruling the world. Like if a police drone flew over us right now, I don't know how to feel about that.
I feel like there's so many like police cameras throughout the city.
Yeah.
To where it's like that's just kind of expected for me. Now, hopefully it's high enough to where I'm not seeing the shit. Just like, damn, like
oh, you gonna hear the?
I mean, that's what I'm like. If we out here and they devise like the Prius version where we just don't hear the joint, and this is like got a slow hover, and they doing whatever they doing, and I always expect to see some shit like that out here.
My man's right here in the leopard print
and the Puma
the,
leopard.
He matching his.
What's my guy's name from Jungle Book? Bagheera. In the Bagheera lion
why
fit.
Why was I going to say Mowgli?
And yeah, if I can't see it or hear it and it's not overbearing, then I'm just going to be like, hey, I'm kind of expecting that shit, whatever. But I mean, at this point, the locations, they know where we at. Now they just got a better visual.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is what it is. Hopefully some good comes from it. They stop some real shit. Because you think Chula Vista is so close to the border. You know what I mean? Are they using it to catch what are we using it for?
I guess you're using it for good, but yeah, I still feel a way about it though. It is what it is. All right, I want to set the tone.
I told so my wife is pulling up now, and she doesn't have an iPhone, so I couldn't share my location. I just said, hey, we where the incident went down,
and she knew exactly
she
where
said,
it was.
Oh,
all right. So let's put it back into that time period, right? How many months were y'all in, or how many years were y'all in back then?
With the story I just told?
Yeah.
This had to be like days.
Okay. So then let's fast forward real quick, and then what's up, brother? How you doing, man? Here. Boom. There you go.
Oh, he almost tumbled
He almost fell over. So let's take you back to that scenery, right? So at that time period, right, you was broke, you was struggling, all these things.
Still now.
Okay, still
yeah,
now.
Yeah. I'm still the same guy.
You're white broke. And so
yeah, that's the difference.
That is a different broke. You
my
know
sweats
I mean?
Was different. They yeah, wasn't they wasn't fitted.
Yeah, they had the
they was a darker tone.
They had the drawstring at the bottom yeah. too. Yeah, yeah. Not what you got on there. You got a cuff on there now.
Yeah.
So let's say that a year goes by, you find out that your significant other, being your wife at that time period, had $2 million on her.
Hmm.
But she hid it from you.
Okay.
How would you feel about that? Do you feel like, hey, like she should have told me, or is that, hey, that's her money, she didn't have to tell me anything?
You said how far in, when was he?
About a year, 2 years
about a year
in.
Or two?
Yeah, wherever y'all was at, a year, 2 years in. If I say it now, I know you would be pissed off.
No, I'm saying, yeah, based
that
on where we was at 2 years.
She is superbly sunburned. Anyway, keep going.
The type of struggle we was enduring in, what was that, 2012?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, hey, you ain't got to give it to me, but we ain't got to be like this. We ain't got to be like this.
We ain't got to live like this, man.
You know what I mean?
Oh, man. So I asked a few of our listeners, man, and there was a lot of men that responded back, and men were like, nah. But if we were married, yeah, it'd be a problem because, you know, at that point, like, we share everything. So that makes sense in a marriage aspect.
Now, if we wasn't the type of struggle that I'm thinking about 2 years in, and this was just, like, on some regular shit, then I'd be like, hey, good for you. Like, right. Hey, that's the type of shit I'm on. I mean, however you got it, you got it. Let's build. But, yeah, based on how 2012 was, like, nah, like, you gotta come up off that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I would be mad.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking about my circumstances, because, like, we bought a house and all kind of stuff, you know what I mean? And, like, I worked some extra hours and stuff like that just to make sure we was there. And you telling me I didn't have to work them extra hours for 5 months straight, bro. I worked every weekend, bro.
Yeah, I remember
that. I was
that.
Working 60. Yeah, you remember that? Bro, for your birthday, man, I was mad because I had to leave my overtime early to go to your birthday.
I feel you.
I was like, yo, whatever.
I would have told you to stay.
Whatever money I've made today, I'm putting it towards his birthday anyway. I ain't got to live like that no more. But even still, like, that was the case. Boy got promoted, knocked off some of these bills and stuff like that. That was in the way. And that's another thing, too, man. Like, and that's a deep conversation I want to talk about is that, you know, there's a difference between on-hand cash and, like, you know, money that you have in equity.
Yeah.
And I've hit that realization. Maybe there's a term for it. You went to college for it specifically. But the way I'm looking at it, you went to college for business.
I went for economics, but, I mean, see, that's what...
But y'all don't talk about money?
Not as much as you think.
Then what, you out here just learning shit on your own? Because I'm like, really baffled right now. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. If you don't know, I mean, Jadakiss has this bar. If you want to hide something from, you put it in a book.
Yeah.
Now, me, I can't say that because that looks crazy. But I read a lot, man. I had to go get it because I saw how my household was run. And I was like, I can't do this, man. I can't be like this.
Yeah.
So I was forced to go like, okay, I don't. And, you know, grow up in the. I didn't have a lot of people around me that had bread like that.
Yeah.
Or that was comfortable, you know, coming up talking to other people about money. It's like, oh, that's rude, or, you know, that's inappropriate. So I had to go find this shit out somehow.
But the basis of, like, what I'm talking about, like, and to add to what you're saying, like how I've learned how the game works, is, like, I do have money. I have a lot, like, I got money I've never seen before stashed away in my house right now, right? Like, that's equity. Nah, I won't see.
I'm about to start lifting up mattresses and shit.
Nah, what I'm saying, like, I got money that I've never seen before. But I have to do something to get it, either sell or, you know, pull money out, which is...
No, but the point is, too, is a lot of people out here, and they have so much money in the bank, right? And what all that bank does is take your money...
And lend it out to somebody else.
They don't give you nothing but 1%, if you're lucky, and it's way less
than
that.
On the returns, yes.
And then they're going to take your money and lend it to me.
For 6%, 8%,
9%. 7%, 8%, 9%, 10%, 15%, whatever type of loan I'm getting.
They're just giving you a number in your account telling you this is what you have, but we take...
Because everything's digitalized, there's not a lot of cash flowing around because I'm paying you Venmo, Apple Pay, credit card, I'm swiping.
Yeah.
So they don't need as much cash. And so the deposits and withdrawals on a daily basis should take care of each other.
Right.
And then it's when the big... And then so they take the big money and they loan it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they make their bread. And so you gotta find... So I don't keep a lot of cash in the bank. I'm trying to find places where I can earn that spread. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that I'm cutting out the middleman of Wells Fargo. And, you know, I do a lot of peer-to-peer lending. I do, you know...
What is peer-to-peer lending for people that may not understand?
Crowdfunding, stuff like that.
How are you going to replace the term with another difficult term?
Well, I mean...
That don't even make sense.
All right, so peer-to-peer lending would be like... Oh, so I used to be into, like, this microfinance where people that might not have had good credit or stuff like that. It was a good cause because there's a lot of women of color, third world countries, stuff like that, where they can't get any type of business loans because they just don't have the credit profile ready.
Yeah.
And so it's like... giving these people a chance, or people that just needed to consolidate their debts or something like that, just because some credit card company's charging them 30%, and so they'll come and like, okay, I'd rather pay 20% or 15%, and instead of going to a bank or a big institution, they'll go to a pool of 10, 100, 1,000 investors who put in, you know, $10 to $1,000 or whatever, And now we're that company, and you pay us back as individuals on a monthly basis over a certain term. Mm. So back in those specific notes might have been 3 to 5 years. And now I've moved that all to real estate. And
bottom line is, you wouldn't put your money, you wouldn't just keep it in the bank.
If I see, like, this whole time I had to keep my money in the bank once, yeah, I sold the house, just for, because I, you know, when you're buying a house, they need to see the bank statements. They need to see you have this money. So I had a few months where it was just sitting there. I'm like, man, I'm out here. I could be making money off of it.
You doing something completely
and it's just
different
sitting there
it.
Doing nothing. And yeah, so I try not to keep too much outside of my, like, you know, it's easy to auto pay the bills with. Just on the day-to-day shit, but nah, man. Banks for the birds.
Man, and the way, like, and what I was explaining to you was, is like, and you already know this, though, but there's a difference between, like, you know how much the operating cost is for your house each month.
Yeah.
Just to keep it afloat, keep the lights on, keep the cable.
It's going up a little bit.
Keep the kids fed and stuff like that, right? And so you make a certain amount of money or whatever each month, and then you divvy it off. Hopefully you pay yourself first or whatever. Then you pay your bills and everything else, right? And so, like, when you have all those things, this is ridiculous, man. It's the second time you didn't walk across. Anyway, you have those things, right? And you know how much it costs each month or whatever for your house to operate. And so that's your on-hand cash. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then the other stuff that you have is in the bank that you don't touch, or you have it in stocks, or you have it in businesses, or you have it in real estate, whatever it may be.
Right.
And so what I've learned is that sometimes people will go out, let's say, for example, they'll go and buy a couch, right? Or they'll go out and they'll buy a motorcycle. They'll go out and buy a car or whatever. And their expenditures each month go up. So although you think you may have the money or whatever, if you're giving away more than what you're bringing in, then you're going to start borrowing away from, like, some of your assets that you may have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, like, that's where I started learning the difference. You know what I mean? Between, like, having on-hand cash and not having on-hand cash, and I've been able to maneuver a little bit better.
So that happened. It's like a lifestyle creep, right? So everybody, in general, if you're at a job, eventually they're long enough, you start getting raises, maybe bonuses, you know, new positions, promotions, right?
Yeah.
So you just got promoted, right? So what you do it is that comes with a new pay scale.
Yeah.
But you're so used to living how you were living before that.
Mm-hmm.
You take that extra money, you're like, oh, I'm so used to living this way, I can keep doing that. And now I got this extra bread for a cushion that I can put anywhere else. What most people do is, hey, I'm in a better spot now. Now I can start buying more or doing more with it.
Right.
Now, as much as I don't necessarily want to be, like, I'm a victim of it too. I mean, because it's not just me. I got a whole household I got to think about. So,
right,
like,
right.
I was used to paying this much a month for a mortgage. I got a bigger house because the family got bigger, a bigger mortgage. So that came with a bigger monthly, and I just did the same thing again. So it's creeping up, and so it kind of eats at the raises or the bonuses that you're getting, and you can't really do nothing that – you can't really do too much productive with that.
Yeah, because what most people do is, like if they get a raise, they go out and buy a new car, and it's like you didn't get a raise at all.
Or it's like, yeah, I had this car paid off, I got the raise. Oh, now I can afford this type of car.
Yeah.
Or now I can get into this type of house.
Like, your expenditures are now
Or even if you're just renting. Like, I don't got to be in this one bedroom no more. I can get the two bedroom. And it's just like, you can never get too far ahead if you keep doing that, because now you're raising your expenses too much. And you just gonna be, I mean, if you like working, you're just gonna be stuck at work.
See, the bullshit for me is that I never could understand, man, is like somebody who was down to their last $30 5 days before payday, and then they got a raise or they got a new job or whatever, and then they go out and buy some more shit, and then they was like, oh man, like, I still need more money. It's like, no, you need a change in lifestyle. Like you living outside of your means right now. Like,
yeah,
you might get an extra $500 or $600, but shit, after, like, getting a new car, if you get the car that you want, you gonna spend $400 or $500 on that, and you back in the same predicament that you was in before.
Yeah, I'm in a calm mood right now, so I'm not gonna run with that little statement you made.
But I'm getting you charged up.
Yeah, yeah. Not about you. I'm not gonna air them out.
Air who out?
Them.
Just do it. Let's say them. Them. Let's talk about man. Them. Who's them? Them peoples.
Nah.
All right, so Lex ain't for the bullshit right now, man.
Because if I start talking about the situation, it's going to be obvious who it is.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I ain't going to let you go out like that.
Nah, but
you might have to clip up. All right, man, let's go ahead and move on to this Read 'em and Weep. I got really introspective in the conversation just now because I'm only going to talk about some bullshit right now. But I thought it was particularly funny. I thought it was hilarious, man. I thought it was funny as hell to talk about. So, all right, here we go. A leading epidemiologist and environmental scientist has published a book which examines the link between industrial chemicals and penile length.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure you
penile.
Was with me.
Yeah.
Dr. Shanna Swan's book, Countdown, argues that our modern world is altering humans' reproductive development and threatening the future of our species. The book outlines how pollution is leading to higher rates of erectile dysfunction, fertility decline, and growing numbers of babies born with smaller penises.
Mm.
Though the headline fact about shrinkages may sound like a laughing matter, the research paints a bleak portrait of humanity's longevity and ability to survive.
Okay.
Yeah.
So climate change is for my problem.
Climate change is for your problem. I'm talking about pollution, though. We're
no, but pollution leads to the climate change.
Oh, it does lead to that. You're absolutely correct. Oh, you said your problem.
Dog, never mind. It already passed.
I caught it. It's cool, and it might be genetics.
Sorry, now I just got to get all my excuses in order, just in case I have a rough day.
But here's, you know, it's weird, bro. Like we get stuff like that, and then it's like it goes through one ear out the other. We don't give a damn. You know what I mean? You let trash blow away and stuff like that. I've become the guy now to where I take care of my community. As a 19, 20-year-old kid, I ain't give a fuck about nothing. You know what I mean? So I would throw shit out the window on any freeway. Now I only litter in white neighborhoods. You catch me in La Jolla, I'm leaving a Gatorade bottle out in the concrete. We bringing this property value down. But like now, like real shit, like I keep the trash in the car and everything. I take it to the trash can where it needs to be. I mean, and that all came from just stemming from being outside more. You know what I mean? And respecting the places that we are. I'll tell you what, you're going to laugh, but golf taught me that. Because I don't want the course that I'm playing at to become a rundown neighborhood. You know what I mean? Or a rundown area where now it's not even fun to play anymore.
Yeah,
you know,
see, that's the type of things that college really taught me. That's when I really got more in my environmental
way. It's
like
being mindful of like your surroundings.
Yeah, just being mindful and just understanding, like, because honestly, one person, me or you, doing the type of stuff that we talking about, it's not going to do nothing to reverse the damage that's already happened, right?
Yeah.
And so the goal is, like, even though what I'm doing isn't really changing much, I'm leading by example to where if a few other people get inspired to do it and they lead to a few other people inspired to do it, and it's starting to sound like a pyramid scheme. But you know what I mean?
It just so
it's like, okay, maybe I didn't change too much for the good, but I've limited my carbon footprint that brings a negative side to it.
There you go.
My man.
Yeah, recycle. Reduce. Get the green bin. Got the compost.
And that shit you wasn't outside for. Recycle, reduce,
I
reuse.
Was. And close the loop.
Was that what it is? I always said, and have them all.
No. unless they did the remix.
That was how I used to do that track, man.
Nah, close the loop.
Oh, man. All right, man. So, but anyway, back on to that. I don't think penis size really matter. It was a big thing back in the day. But now, like, I've talked to enough women in my lifetime that if you was coming out here with Mr. Ed penis, that they'd probably run away from you.
Or it wasn't length, it was girth.
Yeah. My whole body is girth.
Yeah, I didn't want to say it.
Not whole body. I am a girthy dude. No, I look back at images. Like the day when I proposed and everything, I look back at my pants, I was like, those are girthy pants right
there. What do we say when we was younger? It's the motion in the ocean.
Girth Brooks.
Hey.
He called me Girth Brooks right there, man. I was the man leading up to it. But yeah, man, you know what I feel like when people walk by us now after doing this for 4 weeks?
Hi.
All right, G, hold up. Y'all got to move. Thank you.
No.
So, you know what I was thinking about, man? It's like, I done lost my thought. Every time the kids come up, man, it happens every time, bro. What was I talking about?
What you learned this past 4 weeks.
Oh, people treat us like the shoe magic dudes in the mall. Like they make eye contact really quick, man.
Yeah.
And then it's like, man, I hope they don't point us out. Like old girl that was on the rollerblades earlier when we pointed her out, she's like, but I'm shy.
Amber Rose.
I don't know. It was maybe Amber Rodriguez.
Amber Rose.
She looked to be a little Spanish, but
Amber Stella Rose.
Yeah, that was her. But people look at us like the shoe magic people, man. They look at us, they like looking and stuff like that, but they don't want to sit down, man.
We've been on a couple people's either FaceTime or their lives, because he was rolling past on a skateboard, giving a shout out. Well, he just said podcast going on. He's like, He's talking about how much shit's going on down here.
Yeah.
But we, you know, we've gotten a couple good looks. But yeah, some people ain't trying to be here. Other people, you know.
I hear it. It's good. We got one guy in the beginning, man. All right, man. So let's skip on through. Shit you wasn't outside for. Here we go. Sixth grade camp. Where'd you go to sixth grade camp?
I mean, everybody was at outside for that, unless you really didn't go. I was at Palomar.
But it was a thing.
Yeah. Is it not a thing no more?
Have you heard someone talk about their sixth grade camp experience?
I don't talk to a lot of sixth graders.
But you know people with kids and stuff like that. Like, when's the last time you even heard of sixth grade camp? It's been a while.
I guess. I went to Palomar.
I did too.
I was in Treehouse, Spruce. Shout out to Spruce.
I wonder if they're still even active and running right now.
Yeah.
Did you even do, like, all right, so, like, did you do the little craft works and do, like, your little wood stick with your name on it?
We did some, yeah, man, I went on.
I got Remind me about that.
I went full on white boy on Palomar.
Did you?
So when we used to do the hike in the trails or whatever, I used to find the little grub worms.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, hey, man, go for it. Like, that's how they eat out here. It don't taste like nothing. And so I popped a couple in my mouth, like, oh, yeah, it don't taste like nothing.
Oh, you're different.
Yeah, I did the full on.
You getting your white bag.
But then I wasn't even enjoying the scenery because they still had the basketball hoop out, and I was trying to give people buckets out there.
Mm.
It wasn't even people that was there for
one,
that.
It was one hoop and 50 kids
playing. Yeah, and I was not trying to leave that court.
How many times you get a rebound? At least three times. I mean, at most three times.
And then, I feel like sixth grader, we was in that time and place where, you know how you had to run, you had the 30-second showers?
No, it was 2 minutes.
Was it 2 minutes?
It was 2 minutes.
They
I'm going to tell you why. I told you so.
Maybe because of 06. By the time 08 came around, they was like, hey.
I'm going to live on edge a little bit.
And then you had to wait there, wait in line in your towel or whatever.
I was
this poor
kid,
dude.
Man.
Hey, I wish I don't remember who it was. I don't know if it was from my school specifically. But if they could have heard our segment right before this about the peniles. Because, man. You know how you had to wait your little section?
Your mom on Blaze.
And then the section. And then the and then the showers, you had to go in towards the middle,
I'm sorry. Hey, because from a distance, it looked like it, but I realized.
She out here supporting?
That was a man.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. I'm not saying.
You know, you had to wait in your bunk. You had to wait in your bunk for the shower line, and then the showers was towards the middle in the little community area.
Yeah.
So they had my man in the towel, and they threw him out there, ripped his towel off, and he was just dead in the middle, not of Little Italy, but in the middle of the treehouse.
Yeah.
Just ass naked, and he was super insecure. So, you know, everyone was laughing
at
him.
That's messed up, man.
And I was like, damn.
I was that bad, too.
My man's counselor came out and said, hey, we all got the same equipment. Everybody shut the fuck up. They was cussing at it. I'm pretty sure they didn't do that no more.
Yeah.
But we was getting cussed out.
It's way different. He definitely didn't lead a Boy Scout troop. bro, like, when we went, I had a great time. Bro, I'm not going to tell that story. I can't. Because I just can't. I can't tell that one.
And them dingy-ass school buses going up that mountain and them tiny-ass...
I just remember picking up a piece of wood, carving it up, and then my name... They was like, oh, you could put your name in there. Back then, I used to think that I was the hardest kid ever.
Mm.
So my name on the stick, and I still got the stick right now. I might have to take a photo of it. It was Little K.O.
K.O. was probably who was at the beach that night I was talking about.
Haven't knocked out a single person at that point in my life.
You ain't got an O in your initials at all.
Not one knockout to appease anyone there, man. That was crazy. But sixth grade camp, man.
Man, you know what's crazy?
Only reason
too?
Why I said that, though, because the girl at my job was saying that, like, for the pandemic, they were going to take her niece out to go camping because she missed her sixth grade camp experience. So I was like, oh, that's pretty dope. It's not the same thing
because
you're out there with your family. You're at least staying in the cabin. But I was like, at least it's the thought that counts. You know what I mean? A lot of people have missed a lot of things this year.
Yeah,
so
back
sixth
then,
grade camp
so they had two sessions. You either went in October or you went in
the spring,
like
I think.
February or something. It was still kind of cold.
Yeah.
And I think I went into the cold one.
No, it was just global warming wasn't that big then. It was around this time.
And
though.
I made my mom an ashtray out of clay.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Like, damn.
That sounds crazy to even tell your camp counselor that, yo, like, I'm just about to make this ashtray.
Like, make something for your mom.
Quick.
The first thing I thought of. She need a new ashtray.
Oh, man. Oh, man. No, damn well, she don't need one of those, bro. All right, man.
How you make an ashtray and try to put number one mom in it?
And then she ash out into it. All right, here's the thing. Shit you wasn't outside for. So there was a time period where you couldn't touch the stove. right?
I mean, oh, you mean like cook?
Yeah, you couldn't cook.
Because the kids are trying to touch the stove anyway.
No, no, yeah. I mean, like, you couldn't touch the stove and cook is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what foods were you making as a kid back then? We talked about the tuna burritos.
Yeah,
already.
But nah. Oh, so, because I couldn't touch the stove.
Yeah, because you couldn't touch the stove.
Oh, man.
Microwave grilled cheeses are the nastiest things that you can eat on this planet. Bro, I've stooped that low.
I didn't get that low.
I've microwaved hot dogs.
Chicken nuggets, hot dogs.
All soggy.
Yeah, man. I like me a crispy nug. And them shits was all types of...
That's not our bag, right? I don't want to touch it.
Nah. Nuggets. Damn. Trying to think.
That's it?
We didn't have a lot of... It was like you eating that or cereal.
Did you always have hot dog buns ready?
Nah, we used the... So my mom would start off buying a billion hot dog buns. And then we wouldn't have hot dogs for a long time. They get all moldy, so we just pretty much use sandwich bread.
Yeah. That's the move. That's what I was looking for right there. Because sandwich bread, you know, you always have it. You know what I mean? And That's what we always used to make, man. I used to make Hot Pockets all the time, too.
Okay, yeah. Let me get to the other freezer.
Okay,
let me get... Hot Pockets.
There we go. Getting your bag right now.
Okay, Hot Pockets. I used to call them Scooby Snacks, but they the Tostino's Pizza Rolls.
Mmm. Yeah, in the middle was always cold though, or the bagel pizza bites.
Bagel bites,
those used to always be cold.
So I had the bagel bites, and it was just real trash. But my man Jonathan had the French bread pizza.
Yeah,
like they was a tier above us.
Oh no, we had those.
The French bread pizza. Yeah, we even had, in the
microwave. It looks like a boat.
Yeah,
I used to call it boat.
So
pizza.
It's like a better version of the bagel bite.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man, I can get the French bread if I go over there. I say, hey, you want some bagel bites? He looked at me in disgust.
Like, man, this is like, man, I don't want that. Poverty. He looked at you as poverty. The black man looking at the white man as poverty is crazy. Speaking of which, bro, so like, and just a real quick tidbit. So you know this beach wall that's lined up here all the way down in Mission Beach? Do you know what that's for?
It's like a retaining wall.
It is.
Yeah.
How'd you know that?
Really?
Best guess, or you just knew that?
Retaining wall, just because I feel like it has to retain shit. Like, anytime I've seen a wall like that, like, oh, that's the retaining wall.
So this is shit that y'all wasn't outside for still along those lines. Like, this wall is here because back in, like, the 40s, 50s, and 60s, the tide used to come up here and it used to destroy infrastructure. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So I had looked that up and figured that answer out.
You thought you was going
to
stump me?
I thought, anytime I get it close to the opportunity, you know what I mean? I'm gonna take it. So yeah,
okay,
that had me pause for a second too, because I always wait and see if they're gonna stop and wait for
somebody. We gotta be on our toes.
Yeah, man, you gotta make sure, you know. And that's the thing, because I don't want to sleep him. I don't even want to touch him. You know what I mean? So like, look, as far as
you
I'm
don't
want
to be, you don't want to be
my biggest
young
fear
KO?
In life is to fight the homeless.
You don't
want to
be little
right
you, you don't want to be little KO.
I'm not gonna be little KO right now. And we're not naming the episode Little KO. There's no way we're doing that. Oh, here we go. Here's another one that I'm a big advocate. And I still eat them now. Cheese chips. I take the tortilla chips, throw the shredded cheese over the top, bro. Throw it in the microwave.
You did that not long ago. And I thought you brought out the family shareable bowl. Nah, this mine.
Nah, that was me. That was my plate of nachos right there, man.
Nah, okay. So my quesadilla used to be just getting a tortilla, just throwing some Kraft on that joint, throwing it in the microwave for 30 seconds, and then roll that bitch
so
up.
That's so nasty, because there's no way in this world that you go catch me eating a tortilla out of the microwave anymore. Like, there's no way. I don't even eat the cold burritos now. I start loving myself. I was talking to these guys the other day from my job, man, and he was like, man, you know, we come from humble beginnings. Like, I had government cheese, but he's like, at some point, you got to realize, like, I'm above that now. I've earned it. Like,
lifestyle,
you know,
creep.
I've earned that. And that's how I feel. Like, my homie, he was asking me, like, yo, you don't eat Thai ramen? No. I have no reason to eat Thai ramen anymore, bro.
Yeah, like, cup noodles. Like, see, now I'm being more sophisticated. You can put the cup noodles in the stove and get it heat on the stovetop.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then you can start seasoning it and doing all the, you know, stuff that sophisticated people do. But then when you put the styrofoam cup noodles in the microwave for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That give you cancer after you pour out all the freeze-dried fake carrots.
Yeah, our generation may not live long enough. I'm going to just let you know right now, man.
We
hold
getting
up.
There.
I got to give an air horn for this one. Air horn for this one. Headbands.
You definitely had the double joint.
I definitely did not have a double headband.
You had it cocked diagonally. You had the black one. You had the white one going the other
way.
Listen,
I tell you what. If I had the hair that I have right now, back like and Headbands came back, I'm rocking
them. Yeah.
Like I need something at that point. I think Iverson made them popular. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't want to give it to. I think that generation.
But he was
made
wearing
him popular.
It with street clothes.
Yeah, no, he made it. He definitely made the sleeve popular.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. The sleeve. That was before his time.
He probably rocked him better than everybody else. But you know, to me as a Laker fan, I'm going D. Fish. Derek Fisher had that thick joint that came on.
And you know what? He was an advocate of going bald too.
And he finally he took it off.
He was a participant though.
LeBron was the last one to take it off, and we all know why.
Yeah. Oh, he doesn't wear it anymore.
No,
huh?
I don't wear it no more.
It's a young man. Oh, it's not because you just said Derek Fisher was now. So it's like, yeah, it's not a young man's thing at that point, man. That's funny, man. That's crazy. Like headbands.
He had the thick joint. Nah, he wasn't trying to look cool. Like, nah, this is to catch the sweat. Because I'm out here the only one playing defense on this team.
Oh, man.
I don't get no jumps, no shots.
Bruh. All right, man. So then we got the headbands. Okay, you brought this up last week, and I didn't pay any mind to it until listening to it again on the playback. We're going to go past 1:10 today, so it don't even matter. Jersey dresses. Because you brought up the Maya joint. We was playing it with Jay-Z, you know, but you're not going to find a jersey dress anymore. If I see you in a jersey dress, I'm associating that you hang out with the bottom of the bottoms, and you might have somebody on your payroll that's done some jail time that I don't want to mess with.
Or you might be the one that did some jail time.
You get a jersey dress with some white sandals, oh, you're in your bag.
Hey, in 04, I was looking for my next girlfriend that way.
You got a pack of Newports in your bra for sure. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah, man. So... yeah, I don't know. I don't have any other deep dive on jersey dresses.
Did you ever date a woman that owned a jersey dress?
No, I didn't. Although this lady behind this looked like she might have had a few in her day. No, I'm not missing out. No, I probably would have had like the most fun I've ever had in my life. I'm 100% positive of it.
Yeah.
But no.
I'm definitely scoping out a jersey dress right now.
I'm trying to tell you, man. Like,
or not one, but the profile one.
Yeah, that's what I try to tell you. Like, those are the ones
my
that
my man just took his headband off.
Yeah, he definitely would.
Shout out to Mozzie.
Last thing for you as an outside for. You know how to type?
Type?
Yeah, like
sure do.
Like legitimately type.
Learned in seventh grade.
Let me ask you a question. What finger are you hitting the F with?
The F?
Yeah.
My index?
Okay. The A?
The pinky?
M?
Index?
There we go. So how'd you learn how to type?
It was a class in seventh grade. Shout out to Mr. Miller. Yeah, they just had this program on a computer, and that's
pretty
much.
You know what? You say that, and you're right. I remember Mr. Miller, man, and I learned how to type then. I must have been bullshitting back
then. And I learned how to type, and whatever program they used worked for me because I started off, and I was at.
Did bro cover your hand?
Huh?
Did he cover your hand?
Eventually, he had something that was like, and then I realized, like, oh, I'm typing. You know, you stop doing the woodpecker shit or whatever they call it. And then I was like, oh, I'm typing. And then, like, it's kind of like learning to ride the, like, you just don't know while it's happening. And then the next thing I'm like, man, I haven't looked down in a long time.
That was the single most thing that saved me throughout college. Like, so I could procrastinate and get to it and write it up. Like, at my job right now, like, we write 15, 16-page paper. So I watched the girl.
Sure do.
Only use her middle finger and index. And I was like, yo, you still have 15 pages left.
Yeah,
that's what's crazy to me to be sitting up there like this, man. And I was like, bro, she's gonna be here a long time. So she laughed because I was like, you can't type. And I said it out loud, so it was probably hella embarrassing. She's like, hella quiet. And she was like, nah. So then the next day, we got like bathroom codes to get in too. So she was struggling to type in the five digits.
My finger hurt so bad, I can't even get to the bathroom.
And she was struggling to do it there.
Yeah,
man.
Got doctors trying to type up full on consults that way. Just do.
Yeah, man, I ain't going out like that, bro. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that now, because I'm typing in so many abbreviations and like doctor lingo that it's not full on words.
Yeah.
But in my like full on heyday, I think I was like 90, 95 words a minute.
He's the man there. All right, so before we get to choices, I'm gonna knock this out real quick, man. I saw this and I thought that this was pretty progressive. New York is also becoming more progressive like everybody else, you know, falling in line in regards to like legalizing marijuana and everything. But then they did something this past week that I thought was very, very profound. Okay, the New York City's council voted Thursday to end qualified immunity for police officers. The decade of protection has prevented officers from being sued or liable for misconduct. New York is now the first city in the country to end qualified immunity. The measure was passed as a part of a package of police reform bills. Critics argue scraping the protection will make officers less aggressive in fighting crime if they have to worry about lawsuits. City Council Speaker Corey Johnson, however, said it has been used to deny justice to victims of police abuse for decades, rooted in our nation's historic systemic racism. Qualified immunity denied freedom riders justice and has been used to deny justice to victims of police abuse for decades. He tweeted after the vote, "It should never have been allowed, but I'm proud that we took action today to end it here in New York City." I thought that this was a big deal. And the reason why I thought it was a big deal in regards to qualified immunity and everything is that what critics argue. And it was like, all right, well, less aggressively. Well, policing doesn't have to be aggressive in nature all the time. You know what I mean? And the job that I'm at, that I work at, and I presently work for the government, I'm at risk of being sued plenty of times. You know what I mean? And that just means that I have to relate to people to calm them down a little better. You know what I mean? I'm not going to just come in here and wave this stick over their head like, yo, I'm the boss type ordeal. You know, and so for me, I felt like that was a cop-out excuse. You know, a lot of police officers, I talked to a girl that worked with me in my office. She left, and she's now becoming a corrections officer because she thought it was going to be better. And they out here whooping her ass with all these tactics, spraying people in the face and everything.
She thought being a CO was going to be better than what she was doing?
Nah, I don't know where her brain was at the time, bro, but, like, that's just not where it's at. You know what I mean? And, like, some of the things that they make you go through, like, they don't teach, like, sensitivity and cultural sensitivity in different areas. Because a lot of people that police, like, in the neighborhoods where we're from and stuff like that, they may have grown up in really nice households or nice suburban areas, and then they get to the hood, and it's like, yo, like, these aren't even human beings, but they are. You know what I mean? And so I feel like qualified immunity and stuff like that was just a sorry-ass excuse for you guys to go around and act like gang members. I love some police officers. I got a homeboy that's a police officer. He's a great guy. You know what I mean? But for the most part, a lot of them that I run into, sometimes they're assholes. You know what I mean? And that's just what it is.
Yeah, you know, a lot of that could be maybe the educational factor, because you don't have to have too much education to become one.
Nope.
And then so you got, there's that whole thing where you can always point out the cop in high school, like maybe the one that didn't have many friends or got bullied or something like that. Now it's their turn. Now it's their turn to take it out on the rest of the world.
Instructor shirt.
Yeah, it's their turn to take it out on the world. Like, okay, they treated me like this in high school, so I'm about to treat everybody like this now.
Yeah.
And you know, high school 4 years, your career going to be 20, 30 years, and you can do a lot of damage in that time. And then you said it doesn't have to be aggressive all the time. I would say it rarely has to be aggressive.
It rarely is aggressive. It rarely is, though.
And then, you know, shout out to New York for doing that. I feel like they would have been on that a while ago. But, you know, no.
I thought we would have beat them to it.
No, yeah, definitely, because the NYPD, they have a dark history.
They do. And then once you start getting into different boroughs and stuff like that, like Staten Island is pretty, like, you know, conservative. You know what I mean? So it's, or not Staten Island, it's Long Island is pretty conservative. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't see that coming. You know what I mean? In the least bit. But I mean, they're probably under a microscope right now because of all the things that have been going on over the last several years. And it's time for a change, though. You know what I mean? I just thought it was a cool opportunity for the culture and society to, you know, push forward.
Ending qualified immunity is definitely a very big, even if it's just a first step, it's a big step.
Yeah.
Because
it's a domino effect.
If you're walking around with no thought of consequences in your head, like it's not in the back of your mind all the time, then you're so loose with what you're doing. Like, you know, when we talked about going out into the world, me being white versus you being black, and I get in the car, and I don't necessarily have it in the back of my mind. Well, I mean, I kind of do, but that's more environmental.
Well, they treat you like a nigga because you hang, and I'm going to say that.
But I'm saying, like, I don't go out into the world, or let's just say if I'm outside and then cops approach the situation.
Right.
I have no fear that anything crazy is going to happen to me, like, physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how these cops are operating, like, because they have the power. And they're just like, oh, if I mess up or I'm a little too aggressive, it's all good. Because my partner's with me. It, you know, it's the boys club, the brotherhood, or whatever they want to call it.
Right.
And we know if it gets to the point where it goes above us, they got our back.
Yeah.
Because the police is supposed to be for the community. And so we're supposed to be, you know, upstanding people. And so it's our word versus this person's word who is breaking the law or doing something wrong. So they're looked at as a criminal from jump. And so if they can walk around with that same fear that you might have going out into the world, like if a cop shows up, you're like, my hand is out, they free, then whatever goes on in the back of your mind in that type of situation, that's how the cops are going to start feeling like, damn. Kind of like how we, when we talking about as men, like, how do we flirt? How do we approach a woman without feeling like, oh, they're going to get all mad or we might get Me Too'd on some regular
shit? Right, right, right.
They need to have that, like, oh, how can I give this person a ticket or tell them that they loitering or doing whatever without it turning into me beating them with a baton or something?
Yeah, because, like, the police now, I mean, they operate like the military, though. You know what I mean? Like, they get these big armored vehicles and stuff like that. No,
they operate like a gang.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I was watching the Behind Bars Rookies or whatever, and they was doing the CO stuff or whatever, man. And, I mean, it's military-style training that they're going through. And the inmates was telling you, look, just respect us. Like, y'all come here and work here or whatever, bro. This is our house. Like, we live here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we be on some bullshit or whatever. But if you come with us with some respect, and I tell you what, watching the asshole dudes going on there on the show and stuff like that, trying to flex and stuff, like, they had a hard time with the inmates versus the guys that was out there just being cool with it.
And that's the thing, too. You watching a show.
I'm watching the show.
They know they're being filmed, and they still act like that.
And they still act, yeah. One dude went in there and was like, yo, I just need some more, like, excitement in life. So, I thought a CO would be a great job. Big buff dude, obviously, you know, play sports and stuff like that. It's like, bro, like, if you come in here to antagonize people, the whole point of jail in the first place is to rehabilitate. You know what I mean? And so, like, I mean, we're just talking about the system as a whole right now, but as policing goes, bro, like, I feel like if you out here in the community, there's dudes on Instagram that go out, shoot ball with the kids, the neighborhood kids. I think that's dope.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's some shit that I ain't never seen. Although you might be doing it for a camera, at least it spreads the message that police officers can be human beings, bro. And you don't have to be out here on some crazy shit all the time. The corn man is killing me with
this. Yeah, luckily, when I worked at 7-Eleven, I did run into a lot of good cops, you know. Some of them was a little too friendly, like, oh, are you acting like the homie? But, you know, but then I got a lot of tickets written off and stuff like that. And, you know, that was always a good perk. But then, you know, some of them might come in, you could tell they was having a bad day. I wasn't trying to fuck with you, but...
Yeah, because they're human beings, too. Like, yeah. they have problems at home. But, like, yo, if you don't have training and stuff, like, I got problems at home just like the next person.
No, yeah, you know, cops... Yeah, you can't afford to have a bad day like that.
No.
Get your shit together, take it out on your family at home.
You walk around with power on your hip all day long. You know what I mean? Like, what more do you need? You have a whole waist belt, utility belt, full of power. You know what I mean? So, bro, like, and he is scooting by on that. Damn. I hope he don't hit a rock. But, you know, you're walking around with power on your hip all day long. Like, bro, why else do you need to flex it? You know what I mean? So, shout out to New York for being progressive, man. I thought that was pretty dope to see that, man. I just hope that it follows. Because same thing like I was saying about the marijuana. Like, 4 or 5 states in the last 7 or 8 months have legalized marijuana. So, maybe we'll start getting on the horn with, like, you know, not protecting police officers as much when they make mistakes. You know what I mean? I get it if they were in the right or if they feel threatened and stuff like that and they have to do what they have to do, that makes sense. But they're human beings. They make mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If you go after that type of job, there's certain mistakes that you're not allowed to make.
Right. No, that's absolutely correct.
It's like
correct.
Being like an air traffic controller. You have a bad day, you cost a lot of people lives or a lot of damage or money or some other shit going on.
Yeah.
Certain jobs, yeah. If you have a low stress tolerance or, you know, people rub you the wrong way real quick, like, don't go do something else.
Yeah, there you go. That's 100% right there. Any lasting thoughts on this topic before we switch on to something
else? I'm good, man. Shout out to my chiropractor.
They got you
Carl
right.
Carl and this baby Mike got me.
I'll crack your back when we
he
get
got
done
me
out
looking
here.
Like 5'5 with turquoise eyes.
I'll have you looking great in a second.
You see, I did a whole 45 degree turn.
Let's get into this choices real quick.
Everybody got choices. Choose to get money. I'm stuck
man,
to this
find
brain.
Nobody out here.
Everybody got choices. These bitches is choosing. I'm all in their hands. Everybody got choices. Keep it 1,000 out of life that I chouse. Everybody got choices. These niggas be hating. I already know what I.
It's time to get this choices popping off. Let's see who we got. We're going to get somebody random off the block. All right, brother, man. Tell me what's your name, bro.
Hey, what's up?
To touch that part.
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
Right now, we're gonna play a game called Choices. That's what that's the name of the game.
Choices.
It's almost like Would you rather?
Would you rather?
But okay. Tell me your name first, brother.
I'm Brandon. What's up,
Brandon? Where you from?
Oceanside.
Okay, there we go. Yes, Oceanside's in the building. These are your mans right here.
These my guys.
There you go.
They
came up kind of close. I ain't got nothing on me.
All right, Brandon. Here we're gonna play a game of Choices. All right, here we go. So Choices: be with someone you love or with someone who loves you.
I'm gonna be with someone I love, for sure.
With somebody you love, then. Okay, so then 47% of our listeners actually agree with you. All these, we've already ran them through our listener base already.
Okay.
So let's see if you got a... That was a non-popular answer. Let's see now. Choice is, be a child and never grow up, or instantly be an adult and never age.
Shit, I'm being an adult and never age.
There you go. 87% of our listeners agree with you right there.
Yup.
All right, choice is, find your one true love or win the lottery.
Repeat that one more time.
Find your one true love or win the lottery.
I'm gonna win the lottery.
Okay.
Fuck these hoes. Right, he's not here for the hoes.
Now only 20% of our listeners agree with you on that one. My man was for the money, man.
He win the lottery. I bet you he get you some love not too long after that. You know what I mean?
Here we go. Choice is, know about your future or go back in time and change something in the past.
I want to know about my future.
You want to know?
You ain't taking no steps,
man,
back.
Man, he's taking all the minority answers. Only 24% of our listeners agree with you on that one. That man is different, man. He's a different breed right now. All right, now here's a tough one.
Okay, bet.
Wait, lift your hat up real quick. Let me. Oh yeah, it's gonna be tough for you. All right, go ahead, put it back on. Here we go. Choice is, lose all your teeth or lose all your hair.
Shit. Yo, I'm gonna lose my teeth because I can buy me a new set.
There you go. My man walking around with the big dentures right now.
But that shit looks bad. My hair good. So I'll buy a new grill.
87% of our listeners chose to lose their hair.
I can't grow facial hair, so I'm fucked.
Choice is, live without music or live without television.
Oh, television, for sure.
Okay, and then 79% of our listeners agree with you right there, man. So that's all the questions that we have. So what brings you out, man?
We just vibing today. We was here for a homegirl's birthday, but now we just vibing.
Oh, okay, you just hanging. Y'all going out some? Oh, yeah, that's right. Everything's still closed, bro.
Yep.
In my back of my mind, I'm thinking, like, the bars are still open.
I know, yeah.
I'm still open for my man right here.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Hey, you know what it is.
He came with the homegirl cup,
too. I appreciate y'all, though, man.
I appreciate y'all. Y'all be easy, man.
Hey.
Hey, send us a message, too, man, so I can tag you in it.
All right,
man,
be easy. I would still want to be in Vegas, too. Y'all be easy.
All right, now.
This will be out later tonight.
Hey, so here we go, man. Oh, she came in with the hand sanitizer. Yeah, she ain't playing. She ain't playing.
I definitely acted like it was 2019. I was on my 2019 shit for a minute.
With kids running around, it feels different now. The vibe feels completely different.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, we still recording right now, man.
I don't
we
think she's coming to plug the business, though.
Yeah, she's not coming to plug the business.
Running three tiers, I guess.
She ain't trying to do it, bro. So we got nothing else on the episode, topics or anything like that. No, we good. Nothing else. You got anything you need to get off?
Nah,
I'm ready to get. We ready to go.
90 minutes
home.
In, you wasting away. You looking less girthy.
Less girthy. Girth Brooks, baby, in the house. All right, bro. So, what you got for three cheers right now?
All right, man. Since we've been so trash for Women's History Month.
Uh-oh, here we go. Let me know about me.
Not that we.
No, I know. We. But let me know about me.
Yeah, man. I'm gonna give a shout out to Bessie Coleman, first African American woman pilot.
Amen to that.
Hey, man, it's still a sexist industry up there. So,
oh, yeah,
so
for
back
sure.
Then, gotta be something.
Yeah, you gotta get something. Anything else?
I got another three cheers for.
There we go. He's in his bag today, man. He's playing catch up.
I came a little prepared, man.
He's playing catch up right now.
Yeah, yeah. LeBron James.
Uh-oh. What you got for LeBron?
He in the investor group for the Boston Red Sox.
Oh, I do
that's
remember that.
That's a big
that.
Move, man.
Yeah,
that's a big move.
That's huge.
So, like, you know, jumping from what.
Wait. We're not going to just do that for just LeBron. Patrick Mahomes set the tone early. I think he's part owner of, like, some baseball team. Yeah, the Reds. I was going to say Kansas City.
Yeah, but, yeah, we didn't do that when he did it.
Like, yeah.
This is fresh.
So, that's for my three cheers, then. Let me go ahead and just
Patrick
add,
Mahomes ain't doing nothing but stopping me from the Super Bowl.
Where are we going next week, man? I have no idea where we going, man.
I guess we got to ask the kids.
Yeah, because we didn't choose this spot.
Nah. They came here for the playground that they not playing on.
They out here living they best of life right now. That's ice right there.
Nah.
Have you ever seen Ice?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude. I appreciate everybody for coming out. Shout out to Kobe. Shout out to my mans that just came through from Oceanside. Shout out to the vegan lady that didn't want to come and hang with us. It's all good. Vegan Ethiopian food, man. Yeah. All right, man, we out of here, man. You go ahead and put the headphones down. Be a father again. Bang out.
I told Meek I wouldn't trust Nicky. Instead of beefing with your dog, you just give him some distance. We all make mistakes, let's not be too specific. We have to rather be a killer than be a statistic. I never fold, no, I never ran. On my soul, I roll like an avalanche. I thank the Lord, I got some great friends. That's why every bottle I open, I say amen. Just had a CJ at the Super Bowl. Woke up in the third quarter looking for the smoke. If it's more than a quarter million, I count it twice. Poochie broke my heart, shit, I call it life. And never will I call it right. Not perfect, but I'm the one you would call it night. Traveling the world, I'm just repping my city. But rarely do I hear that this nigga done did it. But niggas in fatigue, so keep you intrigued. Since I lost a life, the only thing niggas believe.